America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That take in Ohio State, probably not Ohio State, Purdue, though. We head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline of college football news. He joins us every single Thursday at 4. Pete Futek, what's up, buddy?
Are you saying you have an off week this week? Is that what you're suggesting here, that it's, you know, late scrimmage or something? You don't have to worry about anything?
Yeah, I would say that this is the opposite of the Oregon and Penn State games. Not a lot to glean from here. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, Purdue's just, I mean, look, they got weird and they pushed Illinois late. I mean, you know, so if you let down their guard a little bit, they can wing it around a bit, and they do have, you know, absolutely nothing to lose in this case. And, you know, this would just be obviously horrific. And yeah, but don't take anything big away from this. I mean, this is kind of your week off. You get, you know, work on the running game a little bit, get the offensive line in a lather. And really the big problem for Purdue is they cannot stop the run. So you just run it 50 times. Take, you know, go have a sandwich and then go rest up and deal with go Northwestern.
Pete, do you buy into the logic that some ADs believe they'd rather have the 5 seed than the 4 seed here?
You're not crazy. Well, it depends on who you are. It's actually not even having the 5 seed. It's having the 5 seed and not playing in the conference championship, because this is the thing that, like, the for all the Notre Dame crying, like, oh, we're screwed, we can't get a 4 seed or top 4 seed. Well, there's two parts to this. It, either you're playing, if you don't have a conference championship like Notre Dame doesn't, either your 13th game becomes a conference championship on a neutral site against a really awesome team, or if you're like the 5 seed or the 6 seed, you get a home date in South Bend, Indiana in December when it's going to be cold and blah, and you're going to hopefully get a warm weather team coming into your site, and you get an extra week off, and you get probably a team that's probably a little bit worse than maybe the one you would have played there. So it is not a bad deal. The other thing that everyone's going to figure out fast, if this works out like it might, is it might not be an advantage to be the one. Because if you are, let's say you played your conference championship, and you do get the bye, you do get a little bit of time off, but they're not reseeding. So you get the 8-9. Meanwhile, if like the 10, 11, or 12, especially if like Boise State ends up getting the 4 seed, let's say the Big 12 champion has 2 or 3 losses and is like a, you know, 11 or 12, you might get like a Texas A&M or a Texas or a Penn State or someone really awesome at the 1, and the 8-9, you know, because of the rankings, might be someone like a, you know, a BYU, which you'd much rather have.
Pete, so much of the talk coming off the Penn State, it was interesting going into the Penn State game. It was, is Ryan Day coaching for his job? And then after that game, it was, yeah, his job's safe, but that win doesn't really mean anything. So I'll ask you, what did the Ryan Day win and the Buckeye win over Penn State do for you as it pertains to your how you view this program and specifically this team?
It's the same. Win the national championship. Look, if you remember, and my brain's fried, so I can't remember the year. It was the year after, it was like, I think it was Tim Tebow's senior year at Florida, where Florida was the overwhelming number one team in the country. Like, they had all the pressure in the world. They were supposed to destroy everybody. And that team just played so tight. They were so frightened. You can just see, you know, from Urban on down, Urban was having heart palpitations and things. And, like, there are all these things. The team just played just so tight every single game. That seems to be Ohio State. And I think they commented on this when they showed Day on the sidelines giving a fist pump. Where they, you know, I think his client said something like, oh, look, the relief, stress relief on that. Like, you could just see this team is just playing like all the expectations in the world are either make a good play on this down or else Ryan Day's job is in jeopardy. It's just, it's an insanely high expectation that you just cannot fill. Penn State's good. I mean, I know the big, bigger narrative was that James Franklin can't beat a top five team, but neither can anybody else. So it's kind of a silly narrative. But they're still going to get into the college football playoff. But, you know, look, let's see. You know, let's see with Ohio State. Still have that Indiana game, which now kind of matters. Still have Michigan, which, you know, in a weird kind of year, whoever knows. But still, this is still the best team in the country, if not number two to Georgia right now.
All right, I got two teams. Okay, so I was going to say Ohio State and Georgia, if they met on a neutral field, who are you taking?
Dead even. I mean, Georgia's just as weird. Just the exact same thing applies to Georgia because Carson Beck can't stop throwing interceptions lately. Like, he's playing like a quarterback who is all the pressure in the world is on his shoulders that you've got a national championship team here. He just has to do it. So outside of one bad first half against Alabama, when this team turns it up, they don't play a full 60 minutes and they make a lot of mistakes. But, man, when they turn it on like they did at the end of the Florida game, at the end of the Alabama game against Clemson, you can just see it. There's like a playoff mode that they can get into, but they just got to get there first. And last year, you know, they couldn't get there because of Alabama. And that's the same thing with Ohio State. At some point, you know, the talent just takes over. And it's like, yeah, our team's better than your team, and we're going to show it for the next 10 minutes and game over. Ohio State's got that little extra groove, and certainly Georgia has that. But at the same time, they're kind of dinking around a little too much, and, you know, they almost got caught by Kentucky earlier in the season, and they had way too hard of a time for Florida, a team that they should have blasted their way on.
All right, how about Ohio State and Texas now?
I still think at the end of the day, it's Texas. I mean, the thing about the Texas, you know, it's coming, you know, the meltdown's happening, but yeah, I still think Texas loses to Texas A&M at the end of the year. But the thing about the Longhorns, and this is always the X factor for a team like Ohio State or Georgia, is you got to match speed. And Texas, for whatever it is, that's the one team out there that is fast. Is Georgia and Oregon's a little bit like this, but not quite. That Texas team is as fast at every position with the speed and the athleticism to hang with an Ohio State or Georgia. So on a neutral field, yeah, give them a shot. You've got, you know, two NFL quarterbacks on that team. You've got guys who are flying all over the place, and their defense has just been phenomenal so far this year. It is Steve Sarkisian, so they're going to blow it. But on a one-game shot, yeah, you're kind of afraid that, you know, that's a team you're definitely worried about if you're Ohio State and you catch them in the playoff.
Pitt, 16 days from now, a game that many Buckeye fans have been fearing for many a years now. It is the it's even tough to say it. It's Ohio State versus Indiana, and obviously it's a 2 seed versus the 8 seed. I'll ask you, Indiana, they going to do it?
I don't think they're at least going to hang around. Look, at some point, reality is going to come to breakfast. This is a phenomenal story in every way. The University of Indiana program in 126 years has never had a 10-win season. And they've only had 2 9-and-9-win seasons. And, you know, what's the story? I can't remember what the year it was, but when Corso was coaching Indiana and they were playing Ohio State and they got up 3-0 and he made the whole team come on the field to take a picture underneath the scoreboard that they were up 3-0 on Ohio State and then they lost, like, you know, 95-3. Well, this is fun. No matter how you slice it, it's Indiana football. They're not supposed to be good. Cignetti's a phenomenal coach. He got the top eight guys from James Madison to transfer over with him, and that's the foundation. He got a quarterback in Curtis Rourke, which you guys probably know around those parts, who should have been the USC quarterback or someplace bigger than Indiana, who's just a big-time playmaker, and it's all clicking. They haven't beaten anybody yet. I mean, I know that's like an easy cliche, but no, really, they haven't beaten anybody yet. Michigan State's probably their best win, maybe Nebraska. You know, they haven't played a a Penn State or even a Michigan, or, you know, that's coming. But and obviously they haven't played Ohio State yet. So we'll see. But that's kind of the thing. If you're playing a bad schedule, what do? You drill them. And they're just destroying everyone right now because, amazingly enough, if you block and tackle well and do it better and consistently, you don't screw up, good things happen.
Pete, I want to go back to the college football playoff for a second. At what point are we just going to get where it's like the SEC and the Big Ten is like the American League and the National League, and we just stop pretending that we have to make the other conferences feel good?
Well, what's going to be interesting is to see if the college football playoff committee breaks their trend. Because if you look at the 10-year history of this thing, they have yet to – basically, if you win 11 games and you're a Power 4 or Power 5 program, you are in. No matter what, doesn't matter, you are going to find your way in this thing, which means if you're like an SMU, look at SMU's remaining schedule, and, you know, they, you talk about being like that 5 seed. Well, they might not get into – you know, they all have a tough time maybe even getting to the ACC championship, but – if they do, you know, they're going to be there with 11 wins. That's one of those teams that you kind of want to lose if you want to, that's going to knock out a Big Ten or SEC team. Washington State's going to be on the table because they're probably going to go 11-1, but probably fall just short. It'll be interesting to see if Boise State, you know, loses close to in a Mountain West championship. Do they get an at-large? There's a whole lot of factors here. And of course, Notre Dame. If you're a Big Ten or SEC school, you want Notre Dame to lose once more to get knocked out of this thing to give another spot in. Because what's going to happen is, if you're a 9-3 Alabama, they're going to have to break precedent to put them in. Because usually 10 wins gets you in the discussion. 10-2 gets you to the door. But if you can't get past the bouncer necessarily, unless you did something really awesome. So while it looks bad right now, if you're an outside team, wait till the final records come out. Because the College Football Playoff Committee, above all else, does not want drama. And last year just happened to be a perfect storm for them. So they're going to say, they're going to fall back on, hey, you know, this team better record, Power 4 conference, here you go. So I think if you're 10-2 in a Power 4 conference, that starts it. If you're 9-3, you're probably out at this point.
Pete Futek on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, Mike Gundy said the people ripping him for that 0-6 conference record and 3-6 record themselves were losers who couldn't pay their bills. Thoughts on just that whole diatribe?
Someday we're going to, you know, we'll be before a game and bar somewhere, and I will give you Mike Gundy story of interest where that does not break character for Mike Gundy. Let me put it that way. Yeah, that's pressure. Look, I mean, I say this, but he's also, he deserves the benefit of a couple hundred doubts. I mean, his program, it might not be the type that you would give over the top, but he doesn't get the talent that the Texas, and, you know, even the Oklahomas get. And yet year after year, he's always producing teams that are strong. This year's team just got banged up really, really badly on the offensive line. And there's one thing if you're Ohio State and you start losing offensive linemen, because your next man up is pretty awesome. Doesn't really work like that for Oklahoma State. So, you know, it's never a good idea to insult the customers. But in this case, he deserves a little more of a break than he's getting, because off year, just a lot of bad breaks going Oklahoma State's way.
All right, quickly, Pete. Browns might need a quarterback next year. Out of the quarterbacks you watch and the ones that are ready for the NFL draft this upcoming season, which one's your favorite?
I've told you this. I told you, for your purposes, you want Shedeur Sanders. You want just easy programming where you can roll out of bed and just say, I don't have to come up with a topic today. Shedeur Sanders is the starting quarterback of the Browns. Let's go. I will tell you this from an inside baseball web world. Anything Deion Sanders in terms of keywords and search engine optimization, the word Sanders is gold. So in every way, shape, and form, you, for your business, want Shedeur Sanders. Cam Ward's a little too uncareful, if that's even a word. Careless, I should say, with the ball at certain times. I'm not sold on the Carson Becks of the world, and you know, everybody else is a little bit of a guess. So right now, to me, Sanders, I mean, beyond just the being a Shedeur Sanders, I mean, part of it is, your dad's an NFL Hall of Famer, and look, he's doing a great job there right now. And he's been tutored by the best, trained by the best. He sees the field so well. He's tough as nails and hangs in there. He's as close as you could possibly get to being kind of to being absolutely NFL ready from day one.
Pete, you're never uncareful. You're always kind. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
The benefits of 4 hours of sleep a night for the last 2 months, and my verbiage gets a little bizarre. But yeah, anytime, guys.
Thank you so much for the Shador Sanders fan club as well. Pete Futek there on the I put him right on hold. I'm not letting him answer that on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We're going to talk ourselves into Shador Sanders, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, how hard? Like,
I was getting ready to go ahead and ammo myself with a lot of Shador Sanders material in between the break.
Oh, doesn't it worry you?
It just feels so Browns, does it not?
But doesn't it
feels so Browns.
I don't want to do the Johnny Manziel thing because I don't think he's Johnny Manziel.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But he's like, we've had people come on and be like, yeah, there's nothing physically special about him.
Well, he just said he sees the field very, very well.
Man, that's all it takes, right? Is the buzzword right now? He's got vision. And then people compare it to like Tom Brady, right?
I don't think Pete would just throw that around recklessly.
No. What I mean is that is like one of the buzzwords that if you hear, like he sees the field really well. Like that's something we actually heard about Baker, by the way. It's Baker sees the field really well. And when I heard that, I remember I was like, okay. I was not a Baker guy before the draft. They draft him, and I was like, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He sees the field really well.
Some of these guys, I mean, it's obvious they can't see past a first progression. You know, some of those guys, it's like just so obvious. If they're saying sees the field well, excuse me. that was great.
If he sees the field well, we will take him.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's why is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, like because I think it's like a general thing. Like, sees field well, we start to well, you know who sees the field really well, like Tom did. And, you know, Mahomes sees the field really well. We never like Zippy, who played 10 years in the NFL, was a career backup, sees the field well, even if he saw the field well. I really think it's like one of those fast-tracking terms that as soon as we hear sees the field well, we're like, all right, you can draft him.
It was a nice thing to say.
No, it is. I'm not.
You asked for Pete's analysis. He gave us the analysis.
No, but he's on the Shador train. He wants it for content purposes.
And that's what I love about Pete, though, because Pete understands what exactly we do here. It's all about the content. It's always about the content.
No, I'm like I'm at the end of Rocky. Cut me, Mick. Like I got a round or two left in me with this Browns team. I can't just do that. We did the content thing for like 6 years. It was Johnny into tanking. Into more tanking, into the Baker Wars, at the end of the Sashi Wars.
Yeah, Johnny was never considered the actual number one best quarterback in that draft.
But Baker was, and a lot of it was.
Well, Baker was, and
vision.
Baker, and well, a lot of it was Baker breaking college efficiency records back-to-back years and winning a Heisman and being one of the most decorated college quarterbacks of all time. Like, he didn't just stumble onto being number one. And it wasn't just simply being field vision.
Yeah,
he sees the field
I think it was John Dorsey liked that he was a bit of a...
Because he crotch grabbed at Kansas?
I actually think that's probably like 12% of the decision for John Dorsey.
If we're being honest about it.
I do that. Not even in Kansas. I'll go
to like... time I do it.
I'll go to Missouri and do it. I'll go to...
You cross party lines
I'll go just anywhere in that vicinity. Not Texas. I have too much respect for Texas. But any... New Mexico? Phew, honk, honk.
That's that one.
474.
That's the new sound we need in between click hits.
0092. Are you willing to talk yourself into Shedeur Sanders when we come back? The Cavs and LeBron, you can't get away from it. 92.3 The Fan. Jonathan Peterlin and 92.3 The Fan and Seaside Events wants to send you on the Browns Fan Cruise March 3rd through the 7th in 2025. Tune in weekdays at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. to hear the cruise code word, then enter the code word at 923thefan.com by the end of that hour to get it entered to win, reserve your spot on the 2025 Browns Fan Cruise at brownsfancruise.com. Use code word THEFAN2025 to save $200. Brought to you by Spirit Airlines, Seaside Events, and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. So... we got into the Cavs earlier, and part of the reason why I wanted them to get the 9-0 record, the fastest start in franchise history record, was because I just like this team so much. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a part of me that I'm starting to jones for them to be represented historically in how people think about the Cavs, in a way that whether you know what record is in the Cavs history, I think most people, even in Cleveland, are like, LeBron probably owns it.
Yeah, most records you think LeBron just owns it.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone everywhere.
But the more I thought about that, and they did accomplish that last night, it was super cool to see, because they didn't play their best basketball last. Like, when you win those kind of games, those wins impress me as much as blowing a team out by 50.
Did they acknowledge it in the press conference afterwards? Or?
Yeah, I think they did, because I think Kenny Atkinson was asked about it, and he kind of did the thing of like, I don't know what it means.
I was wondering if he was even aware of it, you know, if he was even like, oh, yeah, that's with respect to Bingo Smith and all those guys. I didn't know the route he went.
But I do think, like, the more I thought about that, the more I realized, like, the LeBron stuff is so special. And so this is not I hate the thing that happens in sports talk where you start to tear down one thing to make the other thing good.
Yeah, you're not just trying to cover up LeBron.
I feel about this team the way I felt, and again, it's tough because I'm looking at it revisionist, but the way that I felt of like the Mark Price and Doherty and Nance Cavs, where that was just those guys, they were just so lovable. They were so nice. They were so, they're such good teammates. And I just like, I'll be honest with you, like everything else in Cavs history gets blotted out by LeBron. That, like, that's like, at some point, I hope this team can make a push so that LeBron will always be the first thing people think of with the Cavs, the Cavs championship and, you know, Cavs basketball.
Right.
But that it won't be an afterthought, which I do feel like all the previous great teams tend to be.
I like this team. I like how this team kind of it developed and it kind of came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden you fast forward and we're acquiring Donovan Mitchell. And then it's just a real push. And now you're developing Evan Mobley. And it's just all, I think the surprise of it all is the part that I relish in the most. The idea that we were supposed to be off in this basketball wasteland for a million years. And you fast forward and it's been a few years removed from LeBron. And now we're going to be the number two team in the East. Like, yeah. Now we're talking about this team as being one of the best teams in basketball.
So I think that's where some of this is coming from.
We were left for dead, Nick.
And they built it the right way.
Yeah.
That's, to me,
it
like...
took time.
Like, this is...
but not, like, 12 years.
Well, but, like, okay, they built it the right way, but they... when I say built it the right way, because clearly there's some flaws in the actual build, but it was a slow, linear kind of thing. They're like, if you watched Darius in his rookie year, if you watched, you know, year two, or if you watch whatever it is, if you were there for the bad basketball, you get to say, I've been here on this journey. And that is a different thing when you get to experience that with a team. It feels more yours. Whereas even when LeBron came back, yeah, he was ours, but he was everybody else's. And Kevin Love was here because of LeBron. And Kyrie was, well, Kyrie, Kyrie was ours, but, you know, he was Kyrie.
Yeah, but there were people that were watching the Cavs that have no...
Yes.
There's no fandom to the Cavs.
Yeah, they're front runners. They're LeBron fans or Kevin Love fans.
And they'll follow them anywhere and everywhere, and they have. There aren't too many people that were lining up for Colin Sexton versus Darius Garland debates.
Yeah, so where I'm at is... And oh, by the way, even the Donovan thing, which brought its own complications... Like, that's going to go down as the best trade. Like, I think it'll go better than the Kevin Love trade. I think it'll go down better than the Larry Nance trade. Like, think of the truly great trades this organization has made.
In basketball history, it's just not something that you're supposed to see.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this is made possible because he stayed.
And then the extension, obviously.
Yeah. Like, if he stays another 5 years, and so that's, what, 7 years in Cleveland? Like, that will go down in basketball history, depending on what you win. As like that's going to be something that people mention. I don't think it'll ever be the greatest trade in basketball history, but it'll be thing when people talk about, oh my God, teams had the cojones to do this, and look what they pulled off.
It's not just cojones; it's the idea that teams in markets like ours weren't supposed to be able to have players like that. You either drafted him like he's Evan Mobley, and that was it. And you had to make sure that you drafted and you got it nailed right with the draft, and that's the only way you're going to have a superstar. And they're just showing that's not true.
So I think there are some people in town who want. Who want this team to outshine LeBron's teams. And I think that's just, you don't like LeBron, which is fine. I just don't want them to be completely in the shadow. And I think that's what, like, last night was a part of that, of, like, carving your own path here. And in the end, I know you can win a championship, and to some degree, you're going to be in LeBron's shadow. But...
If they win a title, though, I think there'll be a lot more people that like this title more than the LeBron title. Even though the LeBron title was the first.
Did you use the word a lot? Because I disagree with the amount.
Do you think it'd be like a 50-50 split?
No, I think the 2016 title is the first championship in Cleveland in 50 years, and it's the prodigal son. Like, I think more people still like LeBron than the minority.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I think it would be as surprising to anyone that if it actually happened, like if you took down the Celtics and you got that all accomplished based off of the build and everything like that, because the LeBron title wasn't necessarily a surprise. Even though you took down the Warriors, who were in the middle of their own dynasty, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, it wasn't a dynasty yet. They were just the defending champions that second year, right?
But they were in the middle of what turned out to be a dynasty. Yeah. They won 3 out of 4 years. They were in the middle of what turned out to be a dynasty. But even within that, that wasn't a surprise. I think a lot of people, you played with the expectation there. Like, I don't have an expectation of this Cavs team winning a title.
So let's go back to, because this is just kind of coming to me as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So if this team is to the Celtics what the Celtics were to LeBron's Cavs teams in the 20 teens, are we going to remember this in a way that is in any where the same league is what the LeBron teams did?
You mean if they get a title and they go, what do you mean?
Remember how, I mean, the Celtics were the second best team in the Eastern Conference for most of that stretch. But everything was, you can't get over the hump. And you didn't get over the hump. Well, okay, you didn't get over the hump in the big picture for 4 years after LeBron left. But like, it really took LeBron leaving the East for the Celtics to make the finals again. Was that 2 or 3 years later?
Yeah, I don't know that Cavs fans will sit back and think about that being the greatest thing we've ever seen, though.
Well, but it's not the greatest. It's just being like, will this be seen as the second best iteration of the Cavs? Beyond, so I'm talking about the Richfield boys, the blue and orange guys. Like to me, that's what because it's almost like the Golden State thing. Like, I don't know. I just can't see a world in which this thing catches LeBron and LeBron's Cavs, because it's not global. It's not.
Well, and that's the difference. That's why I think, like, when we talked about this before the show, it was like, is this local or is this global? Because on the global stage, MJ, when you say MJ, you thought Chicago, right? Like, that was an instant thing. Yeah. You could be anywhere in the world, and you'd say MJ, and they'd be like, oh, Chicago Bulls. That's the same thing with LeBron right now. Like, you say LeBron, and, you know, people in Peru are like, oh, Cleveland Cavaliers.
They might be like the LA Lakers now. But 10 years from now, I think it's the Cavs, because he played most of his career here.
I think it's going to be his long-standing legacy, don't you?
I think it's different than Michael because...
It's very different than Michael.
Because Michael played 90% of his career.
He hopped around, but I still think at the end of the day, I think more people remember him as a Cav than they will a Laker,
or instance, even a Miami Heat. We're just going to continue to compare it to other teams. like the Derrick Rose teams. Bulls fans look back on that as what could have been, right? And they had a couple seasons there where
he won the MVP.
Yeah, like but by and large, no one's like, remember that team that almost had a chance to push Jordan. Now that was six titles versus one.
Yeah, I was going to say the amount of titles there is a big difference in that discussion.
Well, but I think that's where we are with this team. Because long term, we can start talking about these pieces are going to play together for a while. And I think that's what starts to make this interesting about how can all of a sudden this organization climb out of the shadow of LeBron if it's anything other than a title.
I know, but the part that gets me is that as we're going through this, I'm like, well, this team's never going to make it to four straight titles. Four straight finals appearances, excuse me. Like, they're never, it seems like it's a mountain that you can't climb.
So there's that, which is catching. I'm really just thinking about staying power, which is from a staying power, like, how can this become?
Oh, do I think one day we're going to look at Evan Mobley in a better light than fans look at Kyrie Irving? Yes, I do think we have an opportunity to get there. It's never going to touch LeBron, but do I think we can get to the other pieces around this Cavs team being treated or being looked at as in better light or even more favorable light than some of the other really important parts of 2016? Yeah, I do.
216-474-0092. What does this team have to do to at least, I don't want to say there's no climbing out of the shadow of LeBron, right? And I'm talking about internally here, but to get to a point where it's not a absolute shutdown conversation that this team, what they've accomplished is within the general vicinity of what's special, what LeBron did the second time, and really just LeBron and Cleveland in general. More on that in Brad Nacar next on 92.3 The Fan. 5 at 5 coming up in just about 15 minutes here. We'll also get into the little giveaway coming up as well, but we're talking about this this Cavs team. So you notice my hypocrisy. If we talk about the immediate expectations, do not want them, keep them away. This is casual. This is fun. This is late night booty calls. It's HIQI. That's where I am. You want to talk about 5 years from now? I'm down to clown when it comes to, hey, can we catch LeBron?
You lost me at late night booty calls. What was it? HIQI?
Hit it, quit it.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Ask a question, get an answer, guys.
I saw the look on your face. I didn't want to give
you
the answer.
You see me doing it in my head. I'm like, where's it going there? Yeah. I only know HOTTOGO. Okay, so anyway, I think what we've come up with here, though, is kind of hard because I wanted to come into this going to bat for this team, and ultimately, you just can't climb the mountain that is LeBron James. It's just not going to work.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between climbing out of LeBron's shadow and actually being remembered. Like, LeBron right now is eclipsing all other Cavaliers basketball. I think the advantage that the Cavs have is they're post-LeBron. These Cavs is their post-LeBron.
I think we're just going to end up looking at this as if LeBron almost didn't even play for the Cavs. It's its whole other entity, you know? Like, that whole timeline of LeBron was its own different thing. It's like the LeBron section and then the everyone else section.
So it's
basically Old and the New Testament and the Bible, okay?
I was actually thinking Old and New Browns.
Basically,
like, it's a completely different team.
It's like, like that whole section just gets, okay, he's over here. We can't reach that. We can't attain that. And then here's that. And it might end up being what we get.
216-474-0092. Brad in a car. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
All right, two things real quick for you. First, I think this team, I think we have a superstar here that makes it a lot more exciting to root for, I guess, than LeBron in the last couple of years. Maybe it's
Kenny
just me
Atkinson?
And my. But yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No, no. I think Spida is much better for the fan base. I feel like LeBron really liked to hold it over our heads every year with the contract and I'm going dark in the playoffs and I'm not going to be on social media. This guy he's here and he wants to be here, and I think that's a special feeling. I mean, he doesn't seem to play the same game. The other thing is you're saying, can this team be remembered more than LeBron's team? Well, what if they were to win two titles? Let's just throw that out there. You don't think that would eclipse LeBron? Like, people would look at that and go, wow, this team was better than that team. They won two titles as opposed to LeBron, who only got one in the 4 or 5 times they went to the finals.
I think the circumstance matters there. I will say, anyone wins two titles, we'll just do the straight up ring chasing. So, okay, but let's play this out. Let's say this Cavs team makes four Eastern Conference finals and maybe one NBA finals but doesn't win a ring. Are you 15 years from now going to say this team, are you going to feel like that was better or more enjoyable than the LeBron run?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably wouldn't think it was more enjoyable. You're right, because you were in the finals and you were like the center of attention for four or five straight years, which was great. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. It just felt at the end like the last 2 years, like they won the title in 16, and I don't know how you guys felt, but when 17 came around and, you know, they were done and they didn't win and he was, you know, he's going to leave. Is he going to come back? I was just like, you know what? We won our title. You did what you said you were going to do. We're happy. You're happy. Just go. Like, I'd had enough. I mean, does that make sense too? Like,
yeah,
the carousel that is LeBron.
It does. I don't necessarily remember it in 2017. And I thank you for the call, Brad.
No, but I do. I agree with him with 2018. It did kind of felt. It got to a point where it kind of felt like it was almost a conclusion.
Yeah, but do you know why it felt like that? Because the Cavs had screwed up. Like we couldn't argue anymore. One, the LeBron thing was exhausting. Because it was all the time, all encompassing.
Oh, and the season also didn't start till the finals.
Yeah, and so but
I mean, it wasn't nearly as earned as I feel like if this team made a real run, I feel like it'd feel way more earned in some way.
Why?
Just because it just felt so easy for LeBron. It just didn't feel like it was hard, and it felt like in many ways, and I can't blame LeBron for this. This was not LeBron's problem, but in the East, in the time that LeBron was going through when he was making his finals, everyone was going away. They were all going to the West. They were avoiding LeBron with good reason. Mm-hmm. And then I think part of the reason why LeBron ended up saying, I'm going to go to Los Angeles, hey, I want to make Space Jam and do all those other things. But he saw the East that was going to start to build up and get a little bit tougher. And guys like Giannis and those type of players, it was going to be a harder stretch for him. LeBron's always done a really good job of being away from where all the commotion is, except in this Los Angeles time, where now he's taking on a lot of these teams head on, and you're seeing some of the results.
Yeah, I mean, was LeBron good from being away from the commotion, or was the commotion good from being away
from
LeBron?
Yeah, no, it worked both ways. Yeah. Like, a lot of people ran away from LeBron, and no doubt that was a big part of it.
But I do think it's interesting, like, this is where I think this is a trickier question.
We didn't talk about what side of the bracket did you end up on with LeBron.
Well, but I think this is the tricky part of the question is, right now, we're still in the love bubble with this Cavs team. The expectations are going to come, and this team, there's a chance if your expectations are in the next 3 years, they win an NBA Finals, or into the Eastern Conference Finals 2 of the 3 years, there's a chance they don't fulfill those expectations.
For sure.
Teams like this come around all the time. It was those Boston Celtics. It was Budenholzer's Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, the good, just not memorable in any sort of way.
Or really, really good, and if not for that other team, like even LeBron's Cavs team have a little bit of that. If not for that Golden State Warriors team, specifically the Durant iteration of that, you probably have at least one more title, and maybe the fatigue of those last 2 years isn't the same. Maybe Kyrie never leaves if you get that title in 2017.
I mean, Josh Allen's whole existence is that right there.
Yeah.
What if Patrick Mahomes never existed?
Well, but I think, like, I what's interesting is so Buffalo Bills fans still celebrate the four Super Bowl losses. I think societally we have changed since that time, and I think it's so much harsher, revisionist, retrospectively, if you don't win a championship now. Because ring culture is just so pervasive and so unforgiving. And so we're not there yet with this Cavs team.
Think about how we look at the Cavs team with LeBron, if LeBron had never got it done in 2016.
So I think we'll eventually get there with this team. It's so weird how fans have started to hate their teams for simply not being the absolute best in their sport on any given year.
Which, depending what sport you play, is either a 1 in 30 or 1 in 32 shot. It's incredibly hard.
Well, it's kind of the Guardians conversation all over again of, I don't want to be top 4. I want to be top 1 of 1. And it's like, that's hard to do for a small market team. 216-474-0092. Real quick here. We're going to get to Frank. Frank, we got 30 seconds, buddy. What you got for us?
Okay, man, I just wanted to say this, man. I feel like this team now is better than the team LeBron done won with.
I think you're wrong.
I like how Frank didn't need 30 seconds there. It was 10 seconds. I think you're wrong.
Nelson saying, love you, boys, but I think making the comparison, you're cheapening this iteration of the Cavs team. Why can't the LeBron era just stand on its own? That was a great time in memory for us, but it's now in the past. Probably because this is what we do. And I'm not talking about this is what we do. This is how sports is spoken about.
We talk about it this way.
We
compare things.
For instance, LeBron's first run, there were a couple years where it was, well, can he ever catch the blue and orange? Can he ever catch the miracle at Ridgefield? And then he blew past that. I hear what you're saying, and I'll be honest, as we're doing it, I'm like, well, I just want to enjoy this right now. I get back to my own selfish want on this. But this team does have to this team, I don't know any team in Cleveland can reset the bar for what LeBron has set. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, any Cavs team can reset the bar. But man, you got to come close. I really do. For us to feel about this thing 15 years from now, the way we feel about it right now. The 5 at 5, next on 92.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.